We are here in Jefferson City, Missouri. With me is Darren Enan, who is the president of the National Corn Growers Association. Just spoke to the Missouri Corn Growers Group here. One of the things that is a big issue here in Missouri this year with the legislative session, which is what we're doing here with the Missouri Corn Growers, is the threat of the Humane Society in the United States and what they're going after. Dog breeders, basically, they're going after, and livestock producers are next. I guess, you know, some people might look at why are the corn growers getting so involved in this? Why is this so important an issue for corn growers when it's really the livestock industry that we're looking at?
Well, it from a corn grower perspective, it affects us a couple different ways. Number one, the livestock industry is our largest user of corn. So that's very important that we keep that market and that demand there for our corn that we produce. The second thing is that we supply a lot of corn to the ethanol industry, which produces DDGs, which comes back to the livestock industry. So we've got two big users of corn that are both tied to the livestock industry in a roundabout way. And so it's very important that we help defend them because, you know, we can't be separated when it comes to agriculture. We're a small enough voice. We do need to stick and work together.
Do you see this as an issue that can really bring all of agriculture together?
I think so. You know, ag's worked pretty well together over the years. You know, sometimes with the food versus fuel debate or sometimes other issues that come up where we kind of splinter a little bit, but overall we've always had good dialogue for the most part. We've always worked together, but an issue like this can definitely tie us together even closer, that it could be a good catalyst for it to continue to stay more tightly knit in the future.
We just came off the National Ethanol Conference. There seems to be a lot more optimism this year compared to last year, but we still have this indirect land use change issue facing us. We got a pretty favorable rule out of EPA on the RFS2, but it still has that indirect land use change thing in there. What are the corn growers doing about that issue, and how do you think that you can maybe make some impact on EPA and the federal government regarding that issue?
Well, we've tried to get them good science-based facts. We gave them a list of very qualified candidates to get on the CARB panel, for example, and instead of using people that are respected, they would pick people like Tim Searchinger, for example. And so we've done a lot of things. We try to be proactive to get the right scientists, the right science in front of CARB, for example, and the indirect land use piece. It's been ignored, so we'll continue to work on it. We'll continue to work on it legislatively. You know, Chairman Peterson is going to continue maybe to try to work a piece of legislation that would strip the indirect land use out of the RFS 2. And so those are the kind of angles we'll continue to take. And then on top of that, we're going to continue to get the truth out about what it really is, that it's just myth, it's theory, there's nothing proven. And so that's the angles we're using today.
All right. Well, now, finally, we've got the Commodity Classic coming up next week. And what are the big issues that are going to be facing? I assume we just hit on two of them, but what are we going to be talking about in Anaheim?
Well, you know, at Commodity Classic is when we really sit down and the states bring forth policy and resolutions on the direction NCGA should be looking at. And so the climate legislation, indirect land use, higher ethanol blends, and then the other thing that we haven't talked about a whole lot yet but is looming is tax policy when it comes to the ethanol industry. And so VTEC and the import tariff. So those things will definitely bring a lot of discussion in our resolution sessions and our policy decisions. Decision-making.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, Darren. I'm Cindy Zimmerman reporting from Jefferson City. All right, we're here at the Missouri Corn Growers Association Legislative Day, an annual meeting. With me is Mike Geske. Mike, you're also on the board for the National Corn Growers Association,
yes,
correct?
Yeah.
Mike, just tell me a little bit about yourself, first of all.
I'm a farmer from down in the Boot Hill of Missouri, south of Sykeston, and we raise, with my son, corn, cotton, and rice, and soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
Been on the board, I guess, for 8 years, and just finished 3 years as president, and this last summer got elected to the national board.
All right. Now, Mike, we're talking about some legislative issues facing Missouri and ultimately facing the nation. Tell me about some of the things you're going to be talking to your lawmakers here at the state capitol about.
One of our big concerns right now is some of the activists that are wanting to get involved in agriculture. And we're trying to educate the legislators as well as the public on the true facts about agriculture, because we have actually a very good story to tell. You know, farmers have made a lot of progress over the last few decades. We're using far fewer resources and producing far larger crops on less land. And a lot of people don't know that, and we just got to educate.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we've got here in Missouri with the Humane Society of the United States, they're trying to get a a ballot initiative that would regulate dog breeders. And why is this a concern for livestock producers and then in turn for corn growers?
Well, we firmly believe that this is just step one in their plans. We feel that, you know, after they get past the dog breeders, that they're going to be headed for commercial agriculture. And once again, I think, you know, the problem is misinformation. They're going to try to use this to get in the good graces of the public. We've got to stop that and get to the public their true information about what's going on and show the people that livestock farmers are taking good care of their animals.
Another area where Missouri has been very active has been with the EPA and what the EPA is trying to do. And we just recently saw a couple of our lawmakers take a stand against the EPA and what they're trying to regulate on a national level that could impact farmers and ranchers. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, there have always been some people in EPA that have had an agenda that was an anti-agricultural agenda. And a lot of those people have recently risen to the top. Mm. And they're not listening to science, good science. They're listening to the outside activists. And they are definitely causing problems for us. I mean, if they were able to do what they want to do, it would be very, very difficult for agriculture to operate in Missouri and the United States. We're, of course, concerned about losing our animal agriculture completely, you know, to South America. So we feel like we're sort of fighting for our lives, and we can stand good regulations that are science-based, but we can't withstand regulations that are based on non-factual information.
I was just at the ethanol conference last week in Orlando. There seems to be a lot more optimism than there was this time a year ago, anyway. How do you feel about the ethanol industry here in Missouri?
We do have some things to be optimistic about, and the ethanol plants are making money now. Mm-hmm. There still are things that have got to be dealt with to help the long-term future of ethanol. We've got to get the percentage blend wall taken care of. And we need to straighten out the misinformation about the indirect land use charges. Mm-hmm. That is just absolutely wrong. No way can you look at the science and accept that. But because of that, California is trying to completely lock out ethanol out of the entire state. And they're going to be depending on Brazilian ethanol. And ironically, Brazil has a shortage of ethanol, and, you know, we could end up exporting ethanol from the Midwest to Brazil while they're shipping their ethanol to California. It just doesn't make sense, and we've really had a hard time getting through to the California Air Resource Board. But we are making progress, you know. We're making progress, and it just takes time sometimes to turn some of those opinions around and make people understand.
Next week is the Commodity Classic. What's Missouri going to be bringing to the table there, and what are you looking forward to as a national board member as to the issues that are going to be discussed there?
That's a tough one to answer because there's such a broad range of issues, many issues that we'll be touching on. We'll be brushing up our policy. You know, July is when we do the major part of setting policy. And then at the Commodity Classic, we make kind of fine-tuning adjustments. And we will also be looking at the candidates who will be the future leaders and so that we can make that determination also in July. So all issues pertaining to corn will be touched on at Commodity Classic in Anaheim.
Everything's on the table, right?
Everything's on the table.
Okay. All right, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.